Reggie, fuck that cheeseburger-ass penguin, Kim K. He deserved gold medal.
You know, if there was a cheeseburger penguin fucking at the Olympics, I mean, hey, did they show up wrestling or nah?
Yeah, of course.
I what did I remember?
They were trying to take it out.
They were trying to take it out. Okay, yeah. I was like hearing something about
that. They tried to take out all the sports that I like. Because they tried taking out weightlifting too.
Oh,
like,
damn. Oh, no.
And actually, weightlifting might not even survive after Paris because a lot of steroid abuse.
Oh no, so man. Still.
Yeah,
what's going on?
You know, the Olympic Committee was like, the IOC was telling the IWF, the International Weightlifting Federation, hey, if you don't clean up your act, we're just going to take you guys out of the Olympics. And, you know, just like the smart, total level-headed people they are at IWF continue to, what's the word for it? Allow athletes to abuse drugs through bribes or body doubles. And
yeah, man, where's their trial? Like, fucking Vince. Like,
oh, no, they had one. It was called the McLaren Report.
Oh, but, okay.
Oh, God. What's the thing? Also, what's it called when you're scamming money from your company? Like, you're taking it out.
Oh.
There's a word for it.
Laundering?
No, not laundering.
Oh, I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Siphoning? No, it's like I feel like it's like a synonym to that.
Yeah. It's like embezzling.
There you go.
Yeah, a lot of embezzling.
Oh, cool. Very cool.
It was something Khan, not Tony Khan, obviously. But, something Khan was the former president. IWF was taking bribes to allow unclean athletes to pass their drug tests at the Olympics. So, and hey, if you didn't pay up, then, you know, your test mysteriously got popped. I don't know.
Well, yeah, there you go. That's just how the world is.
But now we're getting super sidetracked. Today's spot 105. We are covering the Sheik documentary. Today's episode, I didn't discuss this, but I'm sure Ofi is going to agree with me here. But today's episode is put in memoriam of the late, great Iron Sheik.
Yeah. No, we kind of just randomly were like, hey, we should just watch Iron Sheik documentary because, you know, he's one of the most, like, iconic. Interesting, iconic.
And one of our favorite wrestlers.
Like, not even just wrestlers, but just, like, people. And it just so happened a couple days. I think it was literally either yesterday or...
It was, like, Tuesday.
Yeah, like, just very recently. Like, this is going to come out probably, like, a week after. But, unfortunately, Iron Sheik has passed away, age 81, which, hey, you know... At least from where the documentary left him, I'm hoping it was a peaceful, like, death. He was
from what I read, it was a peaceful passing.
Yeah.
And so, he lived to 81, which is like,
that's not bad.
I think that's actually a pretty good age, considering not just people in general, but wrestlers especially from the golden age tend to not live quite as long. But no, he lived quite the life. Real name.
Oh, geez.
Hossein Khosro Ali Vasiri, I believe.
I was looking up some stuff about the Iranian stuff.
Like, oh, yeah. Now, that was interesting how they started that. But before we do into our full dive of the Iron Sheik, let's discuss any lingering thoughts on the live-action Mario movie.
Was that really I put that on. Was that really the last episode?
Yep. That was our last spot.
I
think we were in agreement that...
kind of a thumbs down.
Just shit, man. Like, I can't go. Like, I know I probably say the same thing every year, but I can't think of a spot that was more mind-numbing.
Oh boy. No, it's like the kind of thing where it doesn't even feel that fun to talk about. And I think that's kind of
my favorite part of that movie?
No.
When it was over.
Okay, never mind. Yeah, I agree with that. It was a struggle bus.
Eyepatch Wolf said, as I referred to him, you don't want to be in that valley of mediocrity. And I think the Super Mario Brothers live action movie is right smack dab in the middle. It's in the middle of not being competent enough to be enjoyable, but not being incompetent enough to be humorous.
Yeah, there's like definitely like some kind of interesting idea. Like, fairly interesting ideas. Like, it's not total like garbage, but I think that's kind of the.
All I'm saying is I think. We already know what Spotty is going to get for most
part. Well, the year's only halfway over. Who knows? Let's pull out.
Who knows what other shit we'll dig up?
Let's go do...
I mean, we're probably going to do Spider-Verse next spot, and I don't think that's going
to... I don't know, man. I mean, they can't all be good. I mean...
Yeah, now like everyone's jerking it off, and I couldn't get a ticket to the movie last second because everyone went to go watch it.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, you actually have to buy it ahead of time on Tuesday, so...
Is that when it released?
It came out on Friday, but...
Yeah. Oh, geez, still on Tuesday? It's hard to get... Dang.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Like, if I bought it online... Like ahead of time, I would have got it. But no, when I went to go buy showings for like the one currently going and the one few hours later, like to the end of the night, sold out.
Damn.
At least, you know, not barring the shit seats, but if I'm going to pay money to go to a theater, I want to at least see the screen.
Yeah, I feel like I don't remember the last time I had like a terrible seat at a theater, just because usually I don't tend to go when things are just come out, so.
But you know what other movie was super hot was Guardians Volume 3.
Oh, I heard,
but even
I heard
that, I had to go to a different theater just to watch it. Oh, I was kind of pissed. But I, you know what? It was worth it. I really enjoyed it. Okay. So
I heard good things about that one too.
But I digress. Yeah, Let's get today's spot. Today, Bubba, we are covering The Iron Sheik. Give us a quick overview.
Quick overview of his documentary. Of the documentary. Yeah.
Let me rephrase. The YouTube documentary, also available on Amazon Prime, titled...
I don't think it was originally on YouTube. I think
it is available later on YouTube.
But it is available on YouTube. That's pretty cool. As you could see, as I written here, overview of the documentary. It is an overview of the Sheik's life. I don't know what else to put.
It's a documentary.
It's got up the standard format. Yeah.
But basically, I think did a good summary of what his life entailed towards the end.
Yeah, a lot of interviews, personal interviews, gets a little personal. That's kind of the emotional climax of it is struggles later on. But, you know, maybe we'll get into that. Themes and tones, you know, there's still, even though it's a documentary, there's still themes and tones. Because as I written here, key directing, because it begins right with... What
Rising
the
star, yeah.
Or I don't know if you noticed, but it even had straight up, the heel. What is the definition of a heel?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
And then
how
later.
How they set it up, the documentary. The first half effectively was heel. Second half was face. And then, when he turns it around. Yeah.
And I do think it's really interesting because like his original gimmick was like literally just to be racist towards America and feeding on America's own, it's a fucking Ouroboros, really.
Americans, preconceived.
Especially with the really real actual like events, the fucking
Iran hostage crisis,
like Jesus Christ and how, you know, cause he starts off like,
first he was just, you know, Iranian,
He was like, oh, I'm just kind of the
really good wrestler,
kind of white meat baby face, as white as he could be, at least, you know, then kind of, you know, latching on to all the, I say jingoism. I hear that word all the time.
Define that. I've never heard of that.
It's like a very common, hold on.
Not common enough for me, I guess.
Extreme patriotism. There you go. That's fair.
Or warlike foreign policy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
And how watching onto that kind of strapped a rocket onto him and all the way to possible, like the catalyst really of the Hulkamania era, you know, giving him his first title.
He was the perfect, I think one of, if not the perfect antithesis to Hulkamania, right? He's not an American born hero, right? He's an import from Iran and then came out with... He wasn't afraid to show his culture, right? He played it up. But also, like, he wasn't, like, tan... Oh, I guess he was tan. But he wasn't, like, bleach blonde. And he wasn't, like, bodybuilder-esque. He was in good shape, but...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I really do find it kind of funny the way he looks...
Nasty foreign heel against the... like, freaking... Well, what's the first few lines in Hulk Hogan's song? I am a real American.
Fight for the rights of every man. Are you sure about that? Okay. I don't know. Anyway. I did like how it kind of went into...
I think at the height of Hulkamania, he was the perfect heel for it, right?
Yeah, definitely. And then just seeing how that has... It kind of morphed. Because I think... You know, during that era of how strong kayfabe was and in that era of 80s and early 90s, like, you know, talking about how fucking grandmas and shit are trying to get at him. Like a lot, I mean, a lot of heels talk about that stuff, but I'm sure, you know, fucking dousing himself in like gasoline, basically. I'm sure, you know, I'm sure that's like, you could tie that to some actual thing that happened, and not that I say that, but whatever. And then as the years have gone by, we like people have really started to appreciate like what he did for the business, what he meant, and just how entertaining he actually was, like, you know, looking past the, oh, I hate him because he's, you know, foreign and, you know, he said all those things, and just kind of seeing kind of the man behind the Sheik, even though, I don't know, do you, like, it's one of those things where, do you think he ever really stopped being the Sheik? Like, once he developed that persona, it feels like that kind of became a lot of his, you know, it's the whole wrestling thing of like, where does one, the Hussein, is that even his first name? I'm not sure how the name.
I thought Khosrow was his first name, but maybe Hussein was.
Yeah, but you know, it's like where does the Sheik begin and his quote unquote real self? And you know, it's the duality of man. You know. Oh yeah, speaking of you know, shadow selves. Hey, you see Persona 3 Remake is confirmed? I just saw that.
Oh,
I
don't know. That's kind of cool.
I was like, holy shit. Like, I saw a fucking video. I'm like, this is a joke. Because I've seen bullshit trailers like, oh, Spider-Man 5 with Venom and Tom Holland Spider-Man. Like, that's not real. Get out of here. but this was like, oh, okay. That's cool. Maybe I'll play it again. But anyway, just wanted to get that out on the pod. But
no, to further exemplify how, I guess, how hot the foreign menace heel persona was. I have a little quote here. This is from a match the Iron Sheik was in. The Sheik just Pearl Harbored. He presses one about the same type of attack accumulating in the embassy.
Oh no.
Without warning, they struck a defenseless person at the time. Everyone always says in this day and age you couldn't say that sort of thing, and maybe it's for the better, but at the time, it was relevant.
I mean, I think the fact that they say Pearl Harbor too, like, that's another thing. The fucking old school wrestling is like, man, it really was different. It was acceptable in the 80s. You know, that's just how it was. That's like the main theme I got, is how he was able to embody both like the ultimate, like,
he was a big
target.
Yeah.
And then later on kind of became like the ultimate guy to cheer on. And then obviously the story, his story progression, quote unquote, makes you do want to cheer for him as
simply because he's show. Just so, oh, we're talking about the documentary his wrestling past.
Oh, then the documentary.
Oh, okay. Like, I was going to say, because he was just so entertaining, you know?
Yeah.
Just his promos, like a lot of shouting, right?
I mean, yeah, who the fuck wasn't shouting in the, like everyone was shouting in the 80s.
But still just the confidence and then the gusto and then, you know, the way he would twirl his fuck-ass mustache.
Yep.
You know, I loved it. I ate every bit of it. I loved it, you know. They know the Iron Sheik. You know what I mean? Type of deal. Duality, okay. Man.
Yeah, there you go. Gotta get my shit here.
No, yeah. No, you summarized it pretty well. From being hated because of his ethnicity to later being beloved in his later part of life after overcoming certain struggles and just, you know, being timeless.
Yeah. Tone wise, I mean, it's fairly serious. I mean,
it's a documentary. Yeah, right? It's meant to be informative.
And there's some bits. I mean, hey, when he's saying, you know, fuck Hulk Hogan in the ass, that's funny. But that's just who he was, you know. That's just part of the kit and caboodle. I don't know. It's a weird term. Okay, maybe getting into characters and arcs. We really just got the one. If it kind of. Already got it talked about a lot of it. Yeah.
Of course it's going to be, it's a documentary, right? It's going to focus on the Iron Sheik himself, but just, you know, as Ovi said, just import from Iran. Something I do want to say is, who is the wrestler?
Oh yeah. I'm just going to call him Takhti.
Takhti. Yeah. Takhti.
The one who was like, you know, the gold medalist and
from Iran, right? That was everybody like loved.
The national hero. Yeah.
But then, the Tsar, right? Was that who?
Or the Shah.
The Shah. Right. The Shah killed Takhti, so Sheik thought...
Well, that's just... It is a conspiracy.
Yeah.
One that actually Takhti's son really doesn't like. I don't know. I just thought that was kind of...
Okay, well, let me rephrase. Yeah. I made a mistake there, but
it is all right.
The running conspiracy was that the Shah executed Takhti or got rid of him one way or the other,
because he was very vocal. Oh, like that, like he was vocal against
and opposing the Shah, right?
Yeah, and that regime, yeah.
And Sheikh, or rather, Khosrow thought, if this is gonna happen to Takhti, who's essentially walking on water in Egypt, then what's gonna happen to me? As he's another rising athlete. Because apparently the Shah really appreciated Iranian athletes, right?
Yeah.
But so that made him move to America, and then that's how he found Vern Gagne, right?
Minnesota. Okay.
Yeah. AWA, right? Little wrestling history. I hope I have that right. But Vern Gagne, AWA, and then eventually when Sheik adopted a more persona, he became the Iron Sheik, and then that's where the idea of him came out. Keeping running, Cyrus gonna keep running through you.
Yeah, that's fine.
As the documentary goes, you know, unfortunately, you have that infamous kayfabe breaking incident with Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Good old Hacksaw just fucking. Was it cocaine or? I think.
I think it might have been coke or weed, one of the two.
It's like, I don't know. But I feel like I think
American Blue Boy Hero versus
versus Khan, you know.
But they're both in on it.
And what? They're both doing drugs. They're both fucking.
I think Bruce Pritchard summarized it perfectly. When he was in the documentary, smoking marijuana, Hacksaw say it ain't so. Like, we can believe the Sheik does it. He's Iranian. He's a foreigner. Yeah, well, of course they do all of that. Oh, they're damn foreigners. But Duggan, oh my God. And, you know, that's not Bruce's. Oh, obviously, that's not Bruce's actual thoughts, but that's just him characterizing, like, embellishing the public thought.
Yeah, because that's kind of like how.
Because
that's just how it was, you know.
If we are to believe at the time in the '80s, if professional wrestling is legitimate and it's not, you know,
it's on the level. Yeah,
yeah, it's on the level. Then why would these two combatants who dislike each other as much as they've been saying so on TV be caught with a DUI after being in a restaurant? You know. Doing whatever narcotics or whatever may have been.
Yeah, it's like that, and I don't know. I feel like what other moments probably helped kill kayfabe, but I feel like this is like definitely
the infamous curtain call.
Oh yeah. Like that. And I think that's kind of cool. Like he's been at the center of like that, and then obviously the match with Hogan. Like he's like despite like he was just so like that's just how high his heights were. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, definitely.
He wasn't a small-time wrestler by any means.
He was a larger-life person. Okay, getting into, I don't know, arcs. I mean, yeah, and kind
of... Oh, yeah, finishing up. So, unfortunately, one of his, as they say in the documentary, one of his daughters passed away due to unfortunate circumstances.
Yeah, that was pretty rough.
Yeah, and then, you know, it's just a downward spiral, and how can you really blame him? And it was just painful to watch, right? Those moments of him, like... Him just lashing out, and it was like a shell of a man, right? Is what it seemed like.
I think for me, it was also like seeing like Jake the Snake in here, who also has very publicly had fought demons regarding drugs and substance abuse. And like the way he was like, I don't know, the way he was like just talking about it. Talking about kind of like
an eerie familiarity.
The way wrestlers and
self-medicate.
Like they just find each other is just, ugh, that's...
It's rough.
Yeah.
It's rough. It's hard to watch. Literally, it's hard to watch. But thankfully, in the face portion of the documentary, in the later portion, Sheik turns the nose up and he's able to come around.
Yeah.
And, you know, instead of just getting his ass beat or beating people up in the ring, he's able to just use his personality and his wonderful linguistic chops. or his Twitter chops, I guess, as his... family friends were able to.
Yeah, I think I saw somewhere actually that they were his nephews, but I don't know. But like, definitely like,
you know, Filipino thing. People are.
Yeah, everyone's like,
oh, that's your cousin.
Like, really? I don't know.
Are you though?
It's like, yo, is there like a chart I can look at?
Can I see a 23andMe maybe?
It's like, ah, no, you don't do that. I'm like, oh, okay, sure.
You know, it's a small island, like, but not that small.
It is there's small, but there's a shit ton of them. Like, it's, hey, you don't know, there's a lot of. Anyway, okay, getting into, I think we basically kind of covered it.
Yeah.
Getting to noble moments, you got any questions for the story that we saw about?
not a question, but it was just kind of funny because Sheik is known for having the WWF title, right?
No. Oh, yeah, you're right.
When he was running around doing appearances, he's running around with the big gold WCW title, which, hey, you know, I'm not the biggest wrestling nerd, but I'm pretty sure that he never won that belt specifically.
Well, we can look at
his championship accomplishments. Yeah, that's fact-checking.
Scroll down
right
on good old Wikipedia.
Let's see. NWA.
Oh, this is all a bunch of...
Okay, NWA again. WWF.
It's just a one time.
I don't see no WCW.
Or, yeah. Because he was never... Wait, was he? No. Yeah, he wasn't.
He did for like a cup of coffee.
But yeah, definitely not.
No, not in a prominent role, no.
Yeah. Exactly.
Hey, one time, some people get... Most people get zero times.
Hey, you know, that's another thing that touched on the whole transitional champ thing, which, hey, still happens today. That was fucking Miz was a world champion.
Like during the COVID.
So, hey, there's still a...
Hey.
Because Bob Backlund's like,
the story that they're saying in documentary is Backlund did not want to lose the title to Hogan for...
Because he wasn't a legit... He wasn't... Which, I mean, yeah, that's true.
But hey, you know what? If Backlund wasn't like that, then Sheik never would have had that opportunity. So hey,
you gotta
it's all
him,
good.
Gotta take him when you can, you know?
It's all good. And look, for people that shit on transitional champions, I kind of just say lick my nuts because, hey, some people don't even make it to that mountaintop.
Like, not everyone can be a champ for like 7 years, you know?
You know, everyone says, what would Cena do? What would Hogan do? What would Rock do? This and that. And hey, I think you should learn from them, but also like... There's a reason why they're Cena, The Rock, whatever. Yeah. There's a reason why they're the special ones, right? The emphasis on they're the ones that stood out.
Yeah, no.
There's a reason why they stood out.
Yeah, but, and that doesn't, you shouldn't diminish, like you shouldn't overlook stories of people like the Sheik. Yeah, sure, he wasn't on top for the longest time, but
he was on top.
He left a hell of a fucking legacy. So, you know, let's...
My wife is like, probably the most casual wrestling fan you could possibly be.
I think Bianca might beat her. I don't know.
No, because she's seen... Bianca's have watched recent episodes. At least more recent episodes.
I know. I don't remember. I literally don't... Like, it was a while ago. Definitely pre-pandemic.
Point I'm trying to make is... Joanna's never done that. But even she knows who Iron Sheik is.
Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah.
And that's her favorite wrestler, so...
Hey, there you go. Yeah, I thought it was Gail Kim. What happened to Gail Kim?
Hey,
you know,
Iron Sheik, Bubba, you can't beat
damn.
Number one greatest of all time, Bubba. Man. They know the Iron Sheik.
That's true. He is.
Whether
JFK
or McCarran, they know the Iron Sheik.
The fuck? Did he say that?
He didn't say McCarran.
No, I was like, whoa, he didn't. Okay.
I was taking liberties.
I know McCarran's like a person.
Yeah, they changed his airport, but I'm like,
he's probably from being a racist.
Harry Reid. Yeah, it's typically how it goes. No, my favorite Iron Sheik promo. I forgot who he was talking it on, but obviously it was a Mean Gene promo, and he refers to
Gene Mean.
Yep, first one was Gene Mean.
No, I fucking read on here that Gene Mean was the best man.
Yeah,
to his
belting.
I'm like, oh, that's awesome.
I don't know if that's real or not, but I'd like to think. I'd like to think it's true.
Yeah, it's a
no,
good
but thing. It's fair. It's obviously another Gene Mean promo, but I can't remember what got into it. But he's just yelling like. Everyone knows, like, even someone, what does he say, intelligent Jewish man such as
Jesus
himself,
Christ.
Yeah. In reference to Mean Gene, right? But he says, they know the Iron Sheik. Like, everyone from JFK to whatever and so on, they know the Iron Sheik. It was just so cool, man.
Yeah, that was pretty, yeah.
He was just so cool. That's why I keep yelling it.
He really does just have the, even Jewish men know me, what the fuck?
No, not that part, do you know? The specifics don't matter, but just the overall message.
Oh, okay.
Is what was cool about it.
I gotcha. Shit, I had another point that I was gonna say. Shit, what was it? Oh, man.
Notable moment?
I think so, yeah. Yeah, definitely. Oh, I should have read.
Well, if you don't have one, I got one really quick.
Yeah, you can keep going.
So he was a girl dad, which is...
Oh, yeah.
That, you know, that's crazy. Like, I couldn't imagine, because I think I would put that shit back in there.
Jesus Christ.
But sorry, Joanna, but he's a girl dad, right? So as girls get older or boys get older, they get interested in the opposite sex, right? But apparently boys would come over to meet his daughters and in a show of force, the Sheik would make them work out. Oh no, I think he would. What would he do?
Bench press, or
he would wrestle them, and then he would show them how much.
Yeah.
Then Sheik would go on to show how much he could bench press.
Because you know, I mean, hey, he's a world champ. He could do whatever the fuck you know.
Hey, if you're the Iron Sheik, you can intimidate boys however the fuck you want.
Yeah, yeah. Man, I'm trying to remember. What the fuck? Oh, man, okay.
Was it about the Iranian hostage crisis?
No, I don't think so.
I think something nice I want to point out, like, not even a specific moment, but everyone respected, or at least all the wrestlers they chose to include, they all pay homage to the man.
Yeah, no, actually, that's another thing. I don't think anyone, other than the self-destruction stuff with the drugs, like, he never seemed to have done, I mean, obviously, I don't think he put that. Everyone seemed to have good stuff to say.
And look, it's a documentary, yeah, right? They can edit it, however. And sure, there's probably one or two people out there that don't like you, but just from what we could see, or at least from what I could see, it seems like he was just a celebrated man, regardless.
Yeah, definitely, like, I mean, you could see, like, you know, the way he was with his family and interacting with his grandkids was, like, really cute.
Oh, yeah, when he was flexing his arm. Look how big my arm is.
Yeah, I guess we could. I don't think we talked about the whole $100,000 for breaking Hogan's, which, you know, that's
oh,
the,
yeah, please.
That's, look, which is the story.
This is a story that you'll probably hear in 1,000 podcasts.
Yeah.
Talk about Iron Sheik, but fuck, it's just such a good story.
It really is.
We have to say it.
Because I think, and if it's true, which I'd like to believe it is, you know, I think it just speaks to, like, the actual character of the man behind
the
Sheik, you know?
Wrestling in time,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that he's like, actually, no, I'm going to, you know, fulfill my agreements.
Let's take it from the top. I want to hear it.
Oh, jeez.
I love this story.
Oh, man. So basically, right before was it the night? Whatever. Right before he's about to, you know, drop the WWF championship to Hogan.
Pronouns, pal.
Oh,
he being Iron Sheik, dropping the title to Hulk Hogan.
That's true. That's important. Fucking Vern Gagne, his old trader Vern Gagne is like, because he's pissed, because, like, what, I think just a lot of talent from AWA.
I think that's what it was.
Was like,
WWF apparently, and most likely, and probably, poached a lot of.
Yeah, and AWA there was just a lot of fucking beef with, you know, Vince and WWF, and he's like, all right, if you break fucking Hogan's leg, don't drop the title. Come back to Minnesota. I love that. Yeah, come back here. I'll help you. I'll treat you nice. I'll give you $100,000 in 1983 money.
Hey, yo, let's see inflation on that.
Yeah, let's see. I think it was 19. Is it either 83 or 82?
Let's just guess.
Yeah. Enter value. Is that right?
Yep.
200, okay, about 300K.
Yeah, hey, that's a decent chunk of change for one match.
I would imagine he probably, I don't know if he got, I don't know how much people get paid, but is that
right? No, I think his WWF career probably paid him more, but it's just such a funny thing to think about, right?
Like, yeah, literally the big, like, that's Hogan's first title. Like,
Is his very first?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
I don't think so.
Man.
Oh, I think we talked about this before, yeah.
Okay, let's see. You know, let's just go for. I'm just gonna type
in. Yeah, Hogan first. Hulk Hogan first title. Fist title.
I god damn it.
No, first WWE.
Oh, fuck, you're right. Oh, let me put champion.
Oh, fuck. Oh.
Yeah. Oh, 84.
It was Iron Sheik.
See, in MSG.
God bless. Dude.
God bless. Yeah.
Biggest match possible. And he's gonna break Hogan's leg instead. Can you believe that?
God,
what a night,
which is kind of funny because you know, part of his modern Twitter persona especially is how much he hates fucking Hulk Hogan, which is it real, is it not? I don't know, that's kind of the, you
beauty
know,
of wrestling, isn't
yeah
it?
Like, people say kayfabe Zed, but you know, I think there's still, you'll never really know
as long as there's a kernel of truth, right?
There's still a little bit.
Yeah, no, I like how when they wrapped it up and part of him turning the nose up, they had to talk about his Twitter.
Yeah, you got it. Yeah. Which is probably, like, a lot of modern people know about him.
Just simply from that, right?
Yeah, just being an insane man who was like, oh, yeah, he was world champ, too. He was a wrestler. Yeah, okay.
Fucking went to the Toronto
God damn it. Yeah, no.
Press conference. And they didn't really show the footage after that, so.
And maybe.
You can only imagine he was a shit disturbing.
I'd like to think that he put him in a headlock or something.
Put him in the camel clutch. I'm just kind of upset they didn't play the Howard Stern clip when Iron Sheik is yelling, Fuck you, I have an 8-inch cock. I'm going to break your back. I'm going to humble you. Fuck you.
You know.
And I think Stern just says, well, you can take your pants off. And then she continues just to continue to yell. But
I could see why they left that part out, maybe. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, that's a little... I know he says a lot of things. I know he said the cheesecake thing or
cheeseburger
thing. On the cheesecake. Hey, you know, a lot of cheese in that...
A lot of cheese in that burger.
Jesus Christ. Okay. And I don't know. Anything else? I feel like we're just...
We're just circling the wagons here.
Yeah.
Getting to the key directing.
Key directing. I mean, I think I already said it, how they had the movie split into the heel and face.
You know,
thing.
It was a simple way to split up the documentary, but I enjoyed it because it showed his rise to megastardom as a heel and then how it kind of ruined his life.
Mm-hmm.
But then it showed how the aftermath of it and he's able to come up and face, so... hey, I liked it. I like how they split it up. It's nice and simple, but easy to... It's simple, but it's effective.
Yeah. I think another thing, like how you were saying the earlier, like, early 2000s footage, like, noticeable drop of quality, obviously, because that's how it was.
That's how the cam recorders were back then, right, on a handheld. If anything, the reason why it looked like found footage is probably because it was found footage, right? They probably had the beginning seeds of a documentary until it eventually became fleshed out in 2014.
Mm-hmm.
But, and you know, it's shot documentary style, right? It's like well produced, and I know it's kind of rolling to effects here, but most of it's like shots of either a live roaming cam of following Sheik around or sit down interviews where it's well shot, but really no chinks in the armor as far as, like, hiccups in editing or...
Yeah, the only thing is, like, the fucking thing where the wife is, like, complaining about him and he's in the room. Oh, that was so awkward. Oh,
I mean, Catherine, hey, that's what part it was meant
of it
for, right?
That's part of it, like...
They included that, and, you know, it sucks because, like... whenever... You ever watch reality TV?
Unfortunately, when I
you know,
I'm not the one watching it. I'm just in the room.
Bianca?
I'm not going to name names, but
might be. Well, I'm going to throw my wife under the bus here, but
there you go.
So I've watched more Bling Empire than I wish I have.
Which one is that? I haven't heard of that
It's
one.
It's like just as rich fucking Asian people
okay,
in LA.
Okay.
Honestly, like, look, in any reality TV, you have to ask yourself the question, is this really what they're thinking and saying, or is this just something they got direction or something they're playing up? Is the reality in this reality show authentic is the question, right? But I think what makes it interesting is when there's like, you think that moment is real or X moment is real, right? And when Sheik was having that this disagreement or spat with his wife, you know, it unfortunately looks real because I think it was real because they're both just so emotional
at the
moment.
It doesn't feel very, I think the thing is like, it wasn't that coherent. Like the arguments, like,
and I think that's what made it like more real.
Yeah,
because right? People's emotions, emotion.
Yeah, because she's just like, you know, where the fuck were you? He's like, I don't like, where the fuck were you?
Doesn't make sense, right?
It's like, yeah, oh man, you know, I might have been on something at the time. I don't know.
You know,
the fucking thing when he's getting the they're filming him in a house, getting his medicine.
If anything, self-medicating. Sad thing, but no, it effectively showed a low point in his life, but I think that's what makes it sweeter when he's finally able to come up.
Which
overcome.
And I don't even know if they've really said, like, I get the specifics of how you beat addiction. Like, I don't know. I'm sure it's like one of the hardest things you can do.
Varies
so.
Per person too. And you know, maybe the specifics don't matter. Maybe the important thing is he's able to,
that he was able to go out on top. Yeah. Okay. I think getting into effects, I don't know.
Yeah, we just covered it.
Yeah. There was that animated bit. I think
I
don't think we actually said that. Yeah, the bit with Hacksaw was animated and pretty interesting.
Anything, you could probably catch it on Peacock for you could catch it on the WWE Network,
I don't know
which is now on Peacock.
I don't know if this thing's on.
Not that, but wherever they got that cartoon clip from.
I feel like they might have like got it done for this because it wasn't that long.
You think it was specific to that?
Because I feel like I think so maybe.
Well, who knows?
Yeah,
I liked it.
It was pretty fun. Yeah,
but let's wrap it up here, folks. Any closing thoughts on the Sheik documentary?
No, I feel like it was just And I think a lot of these documentaries, I think at the end of the day, it's like, you know, how much you can really trust it. Right. And then that's always kind of a worry with these kinds of things. But I mean, showing my lack of preparation, I feel like it was, I think it was well-researched and well, I mean, we got actual things from himself and his family. I think
our important takeaway from this is, at least from what we could tell, it accurately covered the Sheik's life.
Yeah, and I think it was set up in a pretty, you know, like, I guess standard. Yeah, like, that's the reason why it's a standard, you know, kind of going from his journey, right? I don't know.
From his origins to where, how his story might wrap up, which is how I assume it did. But, no, I think it's an interesting watch. I mean, question we always got to ask is, okay, so I think if you're a wrestling fan, this is something you can enjoy.
Right? Oh, yeah, go for it, yeah.
But let's say you're not a wrestling fan. Like, what's your temperament on this?
No, I think, honestly, I think his story is compelling enough for even if you... unless like you hate wrestling, which I'm sure there are, you know, definitely are people who are like that. Like you just think wrestling's like dog shit and doesn't deserve. Maybe you'll be like whatever, but I do think that this does get across that Iron Sheik the man was a person that was like worth rooting for, and seeing his story is worth worth the watch. So I think
I have to agree with you. Like even if you're not a wrestling fan, I think it's enough. Enough interesting stuff here, especially just because the man himself was just so iconic that it is worth a watch.
Yeah.
But you know what we normally say, folks? We're not a weekly podcast, but we pretend to be. Don't cut it yet. I just want to say today's episode, once again, is in memory of the Iron Sheik.
Mm-hmm. What? Oh.
The Iron Sheik, Hossein Khosro Ali Waziri.
There we go.
May you rest in peace.
Yep. Rest in peace.